Welcome to part four, Their Hidden Needs, in the five-part series, Reveal My Partner's Hidden Needs. To listen to all of the segments in this five-part series, please use the links provided in the notes below. This was originally aired as a Zoom session, so you can also use the links to access the original video, and I look forward to you joining me, Elisa Goodwin-Snell, at thelastinglovacademy.com. Welcome to Reveal My Partner's Hidden Needs. Number one, you're both right and neither of you is wrong. So did you know that that was one of your number one needs? Most of you might say, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, but it's so critical and important. We have to get past this idea that the other person is wrong and they're the problem. And without that, we're not going to empathize. And you are both right. Your behaviors may be wrong, and we can take more responsibility for our behaviors. But my feelings and needs, my experience, my story, my journey is not right or, well, it's not wrong, and it is what it is. And I'm right from my own perspective. And if you don't understand where that pain is coming from in my perspective, we're going to get stuck there. When you try to understand, then we are going to be effective. So you're both right and neither of you is wrong. It's really interesting how often men are just wrong from the female perspective. One of the funny things is that women oftentimes think that they understand men, and they are so convinced that they understand men. And the reality is that men know that they don't understand women more times than not, but women are convinced that they understand men, and we're wrong more times than not. We need to be able to listen to and empathize and understand the other person's perspective. And we need to lead into it. It's quite common for my husband and I during a conversation to emphasize that I see where you're coming from. I realize that this wouldn't work for you. It's not important to you, but it's important to me for these reasons. It's a very powerful way for me to not invalidate his experience while also not invalidating mine. And because my feelings and needs are valid and important, we just come up with win-win solutions. I don't have to prove he's wrong for him to hear me. So we're both right. Neither one of us is wrong. Number two, men need faith and trust. Women need safety and security. This is the incredibly foundational number one need of men and women, even though it's number two on my concepts, but it is the number one need of men and women, the need to feel safe and secure. Men don't often understand how vulnerable we feel physically, financially, sexually, emotionally in relationships as women. It's foundational to our experiences. We can talk about social and cultural reasons. We can talk about abuse. We can talk about all sorts of things. But by far and large, if you ask a woman, you give her a variety of different options, and you ask her how important it is to feel safe and secure, she's going to say that's number one to her. Men need to feel that you have faith and trust in them. They thrive when you believe in them, when you have faith and trust in them. So one of the first things that my husband did in the first year of our marriage is he would say to me, I need to know that you believe me, that I don't wake up thinking, how can I tick you off today? I don't ever intentionally hurt you. I don't ever intentionally offend you. It is not part of my heart or desire to do that. I need to believe that you actually really believe that. And I would say, well, of course I believe that. I wouldn't have married you if I didn't. But I wasn't telling him in those many words that I really believe that, that I really felt that. He was trying to tell me that he needed to know I had faith in him. And when I started to change my language and say to him, well, I trust you. I know that you have a good heart. I know you didn't intentionally hurt my feelings. I would see this calmness and resolve come where he could handle anything else that followed in the conversation because I already had his back. I already believed in him. And this is incredibly important. Men often really struggle to communicate their deeper needs. They'll say, oh, the way to a man's heart is through food and sex and love and affection or whatever, you know. But there's a lot more to it that when we understand the core fears of a man and how men are marginalized or the competition that they're always having to experience with other men, they're living in a world of aggression and competition and less emotional support. When you really understand that deeper need for us to have faith and trust in him and his goodness, you're going to tap into an energy that makes him a far better, more supportive partner because he's being heard and understood, and we have more faith in him as a result. So number three, men need to feel like a success. Women need to feel empowered. I'll often have a girlfriend who wants commitment from her boyfriend. She wants to get married and she's upset. She's trying to push him towards getting married. And I will say, well, does he feel like a success? Does he feel like he can make you happy? Does he feel like you value and appreciate him and he's successful in the relationship right now? And she'd usually say, well, no, because we're having a lot of conflict. So why would he add more commitment, more ways to fail, more risk to a relationship that's already failing? He might do it because he loves you and he's afraid of losing you, but really men thrive when they feel like a success. And if you understand that, if you help a man to feel like a success, valued, appreciated, we do fear and have had traumas. We have fears. We have losses. We fear failure. We've experienced failure. We've experienced rejection. Those things get triggered. If you understand and help him to feel like a success and you see more of the good things that he's doing and you're more empathetic and you guys are solving problems well together, commitment becomes a much easier next step. And this is the same thing in relationships. When a wife is trying to force her husband to go to marriage counseling, it feels like he has to accept that he's a failure, which is one of the reasons why people come in droves to coaching, because they don't have to accept that they're a failure. It's just education. It's ways to improve yourselves, right? So when I did marriage counseling, 70% of my clientele were women and 30% of my clientele were men. And the men would come to counseling, marriage counseling, because it was important to the wife. I become a dating coach and 60% of my clientele is men and 40% is women, because men do care about relationships, but they want to feel like a success. They want to know why it's important to you, what it would mean to you. They don't want to just be proven that they're wrong and then forced into counseling for someone else to tell them that they're wrong. They want to feel like you have faith and trust in them and their success and that why this would benefit you and what it means to you. So let me give you an example. If I were to say to my husband, we're at a store and I'm like, hey, what do you think of this dress? Should I get this dress? Right. And a typical response from him would be, well, didn't you just get a dress a few months ago or the other week? No, that was like 6 months ago. Why do you care if I got a dress 6 months ago? Well, it seems like you've already got a dress like that at home. I'm not asking him to tell me if I have good logic and reasoning for getting a dress. I want him to respond like a woman would respond. I want him to say, well, yeah, let's try it on. I think that would be really cute. Let's look at it and see, you know. I want him to validate my feelings, not argue with me about logic. So the reality is one of the reasons why men and women get into conflict is because we start off in this vying for, in a competitive kind of way, who's right, who's right, who's right. And if I change my approach, I don't have to drag him into counseling to prove he's wrong. I can learn a better technique that builds on these hidden needs, and I can switch up how he responds. So I say to him, what do you think of this dress? Should I get this dress? And he might say, oh, you know, I don't think you need that. You've already had, you had one. And I might respond by saying, well, what, do you think I spend too much money? Are you saying that I waste my money on clothes? Like, why do you think I shouldn't get this dress? Are you just being controlling? Or I can pause when he says, well, didn't you just get a dress the other day? And I can be like, oh, I'm so sorry. You're right. Like, I understand you don't value clothing. It's not that big a deal. You have other things that you really value. I'd like to try on this dress. And if I like it, I'd like us to find a way for me to get it. It would really mean a lot to me. Immediately, a guy with empathy would be like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Because I've triggered that response in him that it's about making me happy. He understands and he sees that I trust and respect my own feelings and needs. I don't have to convince him that my needs are valid, because chances are he's okay with my needs already being valid on my own. He doesn't have to be wrong for me to be right. We can both be right. Neither one of us is wrong. And I just need to change my approach. So men need to feel like a success. Women need to feel empowered. The hardest thing for Tim and Tara was he did not feel like a success. When she withdrew, when she reacted, when she was volatile, he felt like he was going to fail again. And he was always alone. He was always a man alone. He felt like he failed before. He can't imagine failing again. It's easier to get out. He can't handle the stress. And Tara, unfortunately for Tara, she was terrified of being powerless. So women need to feel empowered. If our number one need is to feel safe and secure, you cannot close our options and make us feel safe and secure. We have to feel empowered. And of course, men alike need to feel empowered. And men want to feel safe and secure. And women want to feel like you have faith and trust in them. But I'm just saying these come in a different order and package. Stereotypically, men and women can be different, right? We're always going to have people who would say the stereotype doesn't fit. And I agree. But it's a useful conversation to start with. And then you can modify as you give feedback on these things. So number three, men need to feel like a success. Women need to feel empowered. Number four, men like femininity, women like strength. Now we can get into the whole gender bias and the unfairness of our societal rules that why do women have to be feminine? And, you know, why do men have to work? And why can't we share in the responsibility of finances? And why do women have to be pretty? And why do men have to be muscular? Blah, blah, blah. We can get into that, but let's just understand what motivates us. And there's some basic things that make us more attracted and excited. And if we're focusing on the right and wrong, then again, we're focusing on being right instead of being effective. So in preparation for me doing this, I curled my hair. I put on my mascara. I set up my lighting so that it would have a more attractive glow. If I were to change it and turn on the lighting, you're going to see a lot more of my wrinkles. You're going to see a lot more of my aging. And it's not that that's right or wrong that I did that, but I'm doing it because it makes me feel better. It makes it easier for me to do this presentation. I feel more empowered when I'm doing some of these things. We just need to look at what's effective, right? What works? What's effective? And if my softness and my touch, my warmth, my encouragement, my smiles, my curves, my fun flirtiness makes him feel long, you know, wanted and needed, and it makes him feel more confident. It brings out a playfulness in him. Why not play with it? Why not give it a try? If different clothes make me feel more feminine and flirty, I don't flirt when he looks good. I flirt when I look good, you know? So just consider these stereotypes a little bit and see if they make the other person feel more motivated, more excited. Do they bring out more strength and confidence? Men, you need to understand we are attracted to men who show strength. When you're a doormat, when you say yes all the time, when you try to please us all the time, we don't necessarily respect you more. We actually respect you more when you say yes 80% of the time and you say no 20% of the time because it shows you have feelings, needs, opinions. Guys like to see that a woman has feelings, needs, and opinions. He is drawn to and attracted to that confidence. He likes femininity and confidence. Women like strength and confidence. And you're far more likely to be successful. And I can't go into all the details about this, but there are some things that make men and women more excited about each other. And you need to understand and work with how that changes things and why it makes a difference in helping to create more passion in your relationship. Most people want more passion in a relationship. So these are important. Number five, men want to be needed and appreciated. Women need to be wanted and adored. It would seem like you might already think, oh, this is kind of common knowledge. We could kind of expect that. And yet ask yourself that question. How much do you actually make your partner feel needed and appreciated? How much do you actually really do that? So going back to my daughter who had attachment issues, in attachment, there are pushaways, stalemates, and invitations. My daughter was pushing away opportunities for attachment. So I would try to hold her hand as we're walking. She would refuse to hold my hand. She didn't want me to touch her. And sometimes she would do it on her terms. So it wasn't an absolute all or nothing, but there was enough of this push away behavior and mixed messages and stalemate. She would hit me and I would react. I'd get angry because she's hitting me. And the counselor would say, you need to look at these behaviors through attachment lenses. We often think about relationships and parenting through a punishment and reward mentality. We think about relationships and parenting through this idea of someone being right or wrong. Do they deserve it? Do they not? And parenting and relationships, if we look at them through the lenses of attachment, we start to understand people's behaviors better. Because when we look at it, we put those attachment lenses on. The reality was that when my 5-year-old daughter would come up and smack me on the butt, And I would react in anger because how many times have I told her it hurts? She would hit me hard. When she would do that, now ask yourself this question. Was her smacking me on the butt an invitation for closeness? Was she trying to get my attention? Was she trying to hurt me? Was she trying to push me away? Was it a mixed message, which is, so we've got invitations, stalemates, which are those mixed messages, and then we have pushaways. Which one was it? You guys can't answer, but many of you are saying maybe it was her wanting attention, which means that was an invitation for closeness. When a partner criticizes, I'm so frustrated you're late. Is that a push away? Is it a mixed message? Or is it an invitation for closeness? Do they actually want you to make them feel better? And oftentimes without those attachment lenses, we just want to punish the person for hurting us, for making us angry, for making us sad, for criticizing us, instead of realizing they actually want closeness. So when I started to look at my daughter's behavior through that attachment model, that when I would punish her for, because she's hitting and she keeps hitting me, she keeps coming at me, she's yelling at me. And so I put her in a room to stop her from hurting me, which isn't inappropriate, right? From within a certain parenting model, I'm removing her from hurting me. But from an attachment model, I'm pushing her away. I'm simulating rejection and abandonment. And she could not self-soothe. She couldn't calm herself down. And so when she hits me and I turn around, I'm like, stop hitting me. That hurts. Why do you do that? Go to your room. I'm rejecting her again. If I put on those attachment lenses, I start to look at her behavior as a cry for attachment. That was actually an attachment behavior, not a good one. But if I turn around and I say, did you want to my attention? Are you wanting me to tickle you? Are you wanting me to hug you? And she goes, no, no, no. And she runs away, but she runs far enough away for me to catch up with her. She's actually wanting attention. She's wanting attachment. We've got to see these behaviors through a different lens. So let me ask you, going back to number 5, men want to be needed and appreciated. How often do you give them the opportunity to feel like a success for their sacrifices, for their investment, for their attachment behavior, for their loving behavior? How often do you show them that they're needed by you? So often women, because we don't want to feel powerless, we do it all ourselves. We don't let men be needed. And they love to be needed. They want to be needed. They do better when they're needed. They want to know that they're missed. If they were to be gone, they would be missed. They want to know that they make a difference and their efforts make a difference. It's a hugely important part of helping him to feel successful and helping him to feel like you are accepting his bid for attachment, because when he is needed, and he responds to that need consistently, not all the time, no one's going to do it perfectly, but when 70% of the time I meet your needs and you're only critical of that, I feel like I'm a failure. When 70% of the time I meet your needs and you tell me how much it means to me, I'm going to give you 75 and I'm going to give you 80. So, and then women need to be wanted and adored. So often we focus so much on being responsible and doing all the things that need to be done. And we get so busy that we busy ourselves so much. We're so stressed that we don't open up that space in our lives to have fun. Men need to have fun and they need to have fun with us. There's different levels of bonding, which goes to the next slide. And it's when we're having fun that we often feel the ability to feel more needed, wanted, and adored. And it opens up that time for a man to connect with us in a way that makes us feel more needed, wanted, and adored. So number 6 in the hidden needs, number 6 is men bond through doing activities, women through talking about people and problems, and both enjoy sharing feelings and ideas. Now, this is not stereotypically true. I've got a lot of men who really talk and think about feelings and ideas a lot and people and problems a lot, but usually they end up trying to connect with women who want to just have fun. It's a little too heavy, right? So it does kind of change. And I used to be a lot more on feelings, people and problems, feelings and ideas when I was younger. And I really want to do more things and activities now. I don't really want to think that much, especially like for me, because of what I do, I'm all about action movies and fantasy and going out on our ATV and being in the moment. I really want that. So this is not stereotypical depending on the age and the person, but think about it in three levels of bonding. One level of bonding is doing things and activities. So if you were to have a guy who was playing racquetball every week for years, right, with a friend, and he didn't even know that that friend was having marital problems or significant health issues, a guy would typically not think, oh, I guess we're not that good of friends. But if a woman were to discover a friend was having those problems and she didn't tell us, we would think, oh, she must not trust me. We must not be that close of friends. It's that difference in how we tend to bond. Women tend to bond through talking about people and problems, and we feel closer to people. We feel less stressed when we talk about people and problems. People and problems for a guy can feel like heavy, negative. Why do you want to focus on the negative? It can feel like gossip, but they'll do it for someone they love. They know it's important to you. They know you need to talk about it. So they'll do it for someone they love. But if they don't feel like a success and that they can make you happy and you're not telling them what you need, like if you say to them, oh, I know, it's a quick example of this. I was struggling PMS and my husband and I were on a road trip and I was sharing all of my doubts and insecurities. And I was telling him about it and he did something that had always been hurtful when other people would do. Well, I just think you analyze things too much. And I think you're just overthinking it. And I normally, years before, would have been like, oh, you know, I would have felt that criticism and that sting. But because of the work I do, I'm like, oh no, I'm a typical girl, right? You know? And so instead I reached over, I put my hand on his knee and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I totally get it. Like, that's not how you are, but as a girl, I'm really normal. And what I need from you is just to listen and tell me everything's going to be okay. And I just need to be able to get it out. And, you know, and I also needed to recognize that as a guy, he probably had about a 20-minute threshold of being able to just listen without giving advice. But I would tell him, I'll be open to some of your ideas. I'll let you know if that's the case, but can you just listen for a little bit? So again, going back to the idea that that men will do people and problems for the women they love, but we do need to kind of understand what's successful and help them to feel successful by understanding what we need and communicating that more. But both men and women enjoy talking about feelings and ideas. It's kind of that sad reality that a lot of times we undervalue that men have feelings or that they don't want to talk about their feelings. Men do want to talk about their feelings. They like talking about their feelings. Why do I have so many men who work with me? Because they do have feelings and they do want a safe place to talk about it. They just want to talk about it with someone who is curious and respectful. So the highest level of bonding that has the least amount of problems, remember, we've got feelings and people and problems. We've got things and activities. They're no more right or wrong than the other, but they do have downsides. But the highest level of bonding is talking about feelings and ideas because both men and women enjoy that. So we need a 60 to 40 ratio that works for both. If we're spending 60% of the time just having fun and doing things and activities and enjoying being with the person, we have a good overall comfortable ability to handle silence together, to interact and enjoy each other and just do life, usually it's not too stressful. But if we're never talking about people and problems, we're never talking about feelings and ideas, it's going to feel very empty for one of you or both of you. So if you think about it as 60% of the time, if we're having fun, we're doing things and activities, and 40% of the time we're talking about people and problems, feelings and ideas, chances are we're both going to be pretty satisfied. This is Elisa Goodwin-Snell. I thank you for joining me for part four, Their Hidden Needs, of the five-part series, Reveal Their Partner's Hidden Needs. Many of us fear that something is wrong with us or with our relationship, but take comfort in knowing it's not you, it's your technique. Anyone can get a different result if they know what to do. So check out thelastingloveacademy.com where we have hundreds of audios, articles, videos, and techniques to help change your life. The Lasting Love Academy is a life and love-changing experience, and we are here to help you with our memberships and dating and relationship strategy sessions. So please check that out. Thank you for joining me. Please look to the links in the notes below for part 5, From a Punishment Reward Model to an Attachment Model.